All right. Hello, everybody. Y'all come on in. We're going to get started today. And we're going to do coaching. Coach Lizzie is going to be in the Q&A and in the chat for y'all. And then anybody who wants to get coached, you just need to raise your hand. We will get started. Before we do, I just want to let everybody know I'm not 100% today. Just forewarning, I may be a little bit less cussy and loud as I normally am. I have had norovirus. So Logan got sick as a dog on Thursday. He was actually starting to get sick Wednesday night and I didn't hear him, but he was staying at home. And I heard him upstairs and I was like, that's vomit. That's vomit. Like I knew it because he has like it's a funny cough, but he also has like an egregious throw up voice. And I went upstairs and it was like, what is that movie? What is the one? Is it The Exorcist where she like spewed everywhere? That was his bathroom. Like he had went everywhere all night long and I didn't know it, of course. So I spent the day cleaning up vomit and then nursing him. And then I slept with him like a 22-year-old man. I was like, just sleep in my bed. It'll be a lot easier. We'll keep a trash can next to the bed. And then I actually have a group program I'm running on my business membership. They were all coming into Nashville on Friday. I thought he had food poisoning. And by Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock, I was now the exorcist and coming out both ends though. So Chris got to nurse me. All night. At one point, I was praying. I was begging to go to the ER. I thought I was dying. Like, I just knew it. And he was like, "You're not dying." He was like, "I'm reading everything on the internet. It says to stay home, just keep taking in water and Pedialyte." So, anyway, it was awful. I was crying, all the things. I rarely get sick, hardly ever. I mean, hardly ever. And boy, was I sick. And then, I didn't ever go to bed that night. So Chris had to take over for the group that we were doing. Luckily, Chris is my business partner, so he knows everything about business, helps me run this business. So it was not a problem on that end, other than I just like being there. Boy, I felt terrible about it. But I literally yesterday, all I did was sip water, cat nap, and try to take down Pedialyte. That was about the extent of the day. So I'm feeling better. Not 100%, but I'm definitely able to coach. But I don't look as great because I put on all the duty clothes because I was just like, I gotta be comfortable. So that's what y'all got today. I appreciate y'all coming and whatnot. So, Susan, you're up first. Let's see what I can help you with. Oh, let's see. Yeah, Lizzie, you shouldn't be eating lunch on this call. Oh, all right. Let's see if we can get Susan, are you up here? Make sure your camera's on. Well, it looks like we don't have Susan. No, Susan didn't come up. So, all right, let me change to another. Let's try Rebecca. I need to remember to always look over here. Usually will tell me. All right, looks like Rebecca's coming. Susan, maybe she didn't want coaching. So Rebecca, you'll be up first.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I just can't see you.
All right.
There we go. All right. Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing? It's the first time I've ever come on, so I'm a
What you need help with?
So I have been struggling a lot with the way my body looks now with loose skin and with a lot of varicose veins that I have all in my legs. They're pretty bad. I've had 4 deep vein thromboses and a couple of peripheral ones, so blood clots. And I have a family history of having varicose veins in my family. So it's really, I don't own shorts. I never wear them. I'll wear long skirts. But I've been on the weight loss medication for about a year now, and I've lost probably over 60 pounds.
Okay.
Somebody asked me, it's around 50, between 50 and 60 pounds. I had wanted to gift you 4 or 5, between 3 and 4 pounds, or 3 and 5 pounds. And I ended up losing, gaining. And so basically I gifted you 1 pound
That's fine.
this month, but I was more on walking, moving my body, and trying to do my four basics.
Okay.
But so I've lost this weight, which is great, and I've been doing it for about a year, so it's been a slow change. But I've got like all the things. I turned 50 last November, so I'm starting to do the menopause, the skin, the crepey skin. But I've heard you talk about putting lotion on every day, so now I'm really trying to put the lotion on and do all those things. So yesterday, what prompted me to get on this call today is yesterday I had gone to the store. I had gone to Lane Bryant, because I had purchased a shirt, like a bathing suit cover up, like kind of a dress kind of a thing. And it was too big, so I had ordered a smaller one and I was returning one. And then I just decided to try on some other clothes. And the 14-16s weren't fitting me. Like the 10 to 12 was really what I should have had and got into. So I was proud. I was happy. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been in the store and I have never been able to even fit in this size for as long as I can remember. And so I felt good. I felt really good about that. Then I went to the beach and I was putting lotion on sunblock, because anyways, I burn all the time. So I'm putting on a bunch of sunblock, and I'm putting it on my legs, and I'm hating my legs. And I'm thinking, my God, my legs are huge. I have all these varicose veins. There's so much loose skin. I hate my body. I hate my legs. I hate all of this. So I don't know. I'm trying to
What do you think? Let me ask you this. What do you think the problem is? That'll help me help you. Because it'd be interesting to see what you think the problem is right now.
The problem is, and I went to the beach by myself because I don't like going with a lot of other
That's
people.
fine. It
So
doesn't matter what happened. I want to know what the problem
the
is.
problem is, I hate the way my legs look.
Okay.
And
So I hate the way my legs look.
it is very, 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 I'm very self-conscious of them, and very, I look at them and I hate them, and I think about it all the time.
Okay, so can I ask you another question?
Yep.
Okay, and really listen to the question because I don't want you to answer what you think I ask you. I want you to a answer what I actually ask you. If your legs, other than just loose, like let you cannot change varicose veins and you cannot change loose skin. Like you may get thinner, but getting thinner means more loose skin. Trust me, I know.
Well,
But if
you know
every
what
time I
you
lose a little bit more weight, I'm just like, and here we are, more loose skin, you know?
Yep, no, that's what I'm asking, because I know you know.
Yeah. So, and you're like me, you're just getting older. So we're only going to get probably more loose skin. We're probably not going to get rid of our varicose veins, and
No.
we're going to get crepey skin on top.
Yep.
Okay. Knowing none of that can change. Now, what do you most want?
I think I want to stop thinking about it and hating it.
Okay, that's so simple to fix. That is the perfect answer.
because
Okay.
it stops me
Go.
from doing things that I would do, that it stops me from doing things with other people that I wish I could just go and do things and not have this inner dialogue going all the time and be able to focus on the interactions with people that I'm with and not worry about.
So that takes, I would just, from my personal experience, that's going to take you putting yourself in situations where the thoughts come up and you being gentle and kind to yourself in that moment. Right now, you're hating yourself in that moment. It's like, I hate my legs. Now I hate that I have my thoughts about my legs. You're just like in a fucking hate buffet. You're like, I'm at the Golden Hate Corral, just serving dish up after dish. And that I, this is where I tell people, you know, the one of the things that I've always held on to when it comes to weight loss, because I'm never going to have the body I want. I have worked so hard. There's no one that has probably worked harder sometimes, I think, than me to have the body that I want. And I have been willing to do everything for it. I have had surgeries. I lift weights. I lift weights so much on so many times when I don't fucking want to, and I know I'm going to look no better. But I keep doing it because I know that that is also what gives me all the other things that I enjoy. You know, with weight loss came a fuck ton of pleasure, but it also came with this one set of things. Legs and skin. And I'm making that outweigh all of this. And that's my choice. And when I kind of realized I'm choosing to hate this, I'm choosing to hate that I hate it. Like, I'm the one who's, there's only one person who's in control of hate. My loose skin is not in control of it. Other people's opinions are not in control of it. The world is not in control of how much hate I apply to my body. I am. And it was like when I really realized that, then I started with the first thing was I'm going to have to start doing some of these things that freak me out, and I'm going to need to go through the freak out and just see what happens. It was amazing to me the first summer that we decided we were going to go to spend an entire summer at our pool, at the pool we go to now like a thousand times. I was so nervous that entire year. I mean, just imagine going to a pool for an entire year being nervous every single time, knowing you're putting yourself out there. And all I thought about was how terrible I look next to most of the other ladies. I don't go to a beach where there's all bodies. I literally go to a pool where it's hot youngins and me, where people come up and ask me all the time, were you in a terrible accident? You have scars all over you. I get asked that every fucking trip we go on. Not one time have we ever gone where somebody hasn't asked me that. I catch the stares, all of it. But I did it because I really needed, well, I lost her. Don't know where she went, but she's probably still listening. But I went and I've done it because first thing I had to do was figure out, like, could I stand it? And I could. The worst that was happening was my voice. That was the worst thing that was happening. Outside of people asking me what had happened to me, like nobody ever came up and said, you know, you're really too fat with too much loose skin and scars to be at this pool. That never happened. They took my money every single time I showed up. They're like, thank you. And would you like to buy more things while you're here? Would you like another drink? No one ever kicked me out. So, like all the fears of not being included, that had to go away because a lot of my stuff was from being a child and being bullied and not being part of the cool kids club. And I was like, you know what? As an adult, you know what the cool kids club requires? An Amex card. That's all it requires as an adult. Wait a minute, you're muted. Oh, don't tell me too much. Okay,
I
what were
don't
you
know.
going to say?
Yeah, I can fix people. I can't fix technology.
That's
So that's interesting because I honestly the other day kind of felt like Julia Roberts when she's in Pretty Woman and she has all this money. She's got all this money and she's like, I have all this money and I can't buy a dress.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have all this weight loss. And yeah, I have some, I mean, I have money to go and to buy things, but I can't get comfortable enough to buy shorts or
That's
anything.
not true. I want you to stop saying I can't get comfortable. I want you to say I refuse to allow myself these clothes.
I refuse.
Yeah, it's not a level of comfort. I want you to be real honest with yourself. This is a choice.
So the so one of the things I did this past month, every year our family, I mean, and I mean family dinner has 17, 20 people every Sunday anyways. But we every year they do a we do a they do a river trip where up I live in Maine, but close to New Hampshire. So they go down the Saco in canoes and kayaks. And every and I can say this with I can use the word blanket statement every because it is every woman, teenage girl that goes is always in a bikini and whatnot, and they're very comfortable in themselves, and they you know they just wear their bathing suits on the on the river. It's like 6 hours on the river and going back and forth. And I have never done it because I have been so self-conscious about it.
Well, can I ask you a question? The
So I,
women that you're talking about that are in bathing suits all the time and stuff, are they all perfect bodies?
No.
How do you know they're all comfortable? How do you know that a lot of them aren't sitting there very uncomfortable but choosing to live their life anyway?
Because I've had conversations,
With all of them.
80% of them. So, right, there's a
80% of them have said to you, I love my body no matter what it looks like, and that's why I sit here like this. You should too.
Right, because they it's I can't argue this one with you. I can't, so
Well, tell me what they actually said. That'll help. Because I just know women and I talk to them all the time. I talk to very fit women at my pool. Who are in the pool, who have the body I wish they had. You know what? When I listen in on their conversations, every one of them is bitching. You know, this drink has so many calories. I'm gonna have to burn this off tomorrow. My ass looks so big. And I feel like going, shut the fuck up, bitch. You don't even know what a big ass looks like. But they're all doing it. I'm like, where is this river you go to? Because we all in no BS need to go there. And bathe in their body positivity. Maybe some of that'll jump off on us and we'll feel better. Or maybe not, because it hasn't helped you at all.
Maybe it's because they've been doing it every year, their family, they feel comfortable around each other. Whereas if they were out with their friends, they might have a different take on it.
Maybe. Or
Maybe.
maybe they are uncomfortable and not talking about it.
But I was just happy. I was patting myself on the back because I actually went. But the entire
Yes, I mean, I'm not taking that away from you. I'm just one of the thoughts I don't want you to think is like, there's all these people out there not going through what I'm going through. Because I just, that's why I was asking, how do you know they're comfortable? Because one of the phases you have to go through is exactly what you just said. The only way that we get comfortable with the skin we have
Yeah.
is we go through the phase where we're very uncomfortable. We do it anyway, and we show our brain we're going to survive. Because if you think about the reason you're holding back, that is at the crux of it. It's not so much that you hate it and stuff. Our hate, our thoughts, and everything is a reflection of the fear we think we'll incur if we show it. So let's just like, and it will probably be something ridiculous. Like, whenever I look into my fears of like why I won't wear something, it's like shit that's never going to happen, but in my mind, it's so fucking real. So let's say that, I don't know. What is something? Let's say you're gonna wear shorts. You're coming to Nashville. You and I are going out, and we're both wearing booty shorts. We're going to the Green Hills Mall, which is the bougie fucking mall. People dress up to go to that mall just to go shopping. I always feel like if I wear this outfit, they're going to kick me out, and they're not going to take my Amex. So we're going. I won't make you wear booty shorts. I wouldn't want to wear booty shorts. We'll wear nice mid-thigh shorts.
Okay, where am I buying these shorts? Because I truly don't have any, but okay.
I'll send you some.
Okay. All right, thanks.
I'll mail them to you, and then you can pack them and bring them to Nashville, and we're
Awesome.
going. And we're both going to show our legs.
Okay.
Now, what do you think, like in your mind, like when you say, I don't want to do this because I know you hate them, but you hate them because you have probably a fear that this will happen. These thoughts will be thought by others. Like, what is that that's going on for you?
You know, I don't know if this, it's strange. I think I would be more comfortable doing that with you in Nashville with strangers.
All right, now I'm coming to you then. Forget
Okay.
Nashville. Where do you live?
In Maine.
I'm coming to Maine in a hot month because I would not wear shorts in any other period.
Yep, good
Your
choice.
warmest month. And
Yeah.
we're going to a place where all your friends and family and people that you value their opinion, they're all having a hangout day. And we're showing up in shorts. Now what happens?
I don't know that I could do it. But I guess if
But let's say we had to. Like you had to, or your house was going to burn down. Like, I really want you to think about if you had to, what would happen?
I would just be so absolutely unbelievably uncomfortable. I mean, I maybe they would say, wow, that looks like that hurts, or because, you know, some of the veins are bulging and yeah, they probably do I think my family would point at them and laugh? No, absolutely not. Do I think
Okay.
that I don't know. I don't know. I've never actually
Okay.
been that
So
far.
this is good for you to know that there's probably nothing that's ever going to happen if you start exposing your skin other than your own discomfort. Like, that's always good to know so that we don't have some type of irrational underneath fear that people will laugh at us or, do whatever. Because you've said two things that are really important. If it's strangers, I really wouldn't care. It's probably not
Well,
going to.
I would, but I would care less.
Right. So you would care a lot less. So that frees you to know that right now, if you wanted to start practicing exposing skin, that you're going to care less in front of strangers. So you might want to start practicing in front of people you don't know at all. Then, if you decide to do this in front of people you love and care about, or you care about their opinion, whether you love them or not, you just like them or whatever, that the worst that's going to happen is what goes on in your brain. And I think that's really important for you to see is that it's all exactly what I'm telling myself. Because right now, what you're telling yourself is, I hate those thoughts. Those thoughts about my legs make me feel bad. And I don't think those thoughts do. I think you hating on them thoughts makes them feel way worse than they are. I promise you, I have a ton of negative body thoughts every single day. There's no way to get dressed or walk in front of the mirror or do anything where I don't catch angles and shit all the time. I just don't hate it anymore. I don't like let it make my decisions about what I'm wearing anymore, unless I think I truly look so unflattering. And I'm like, I'm just not going to wear that. And that, to me, that feels like a choice. I don't say I'm not wearing that because I hate my legs. I will say, you know what? I don't want to show my legs today. And so I'm going to wear this. Do you just notice how like it sounds more compassionate? It's like Corinne, I know you're not having a great day when it like your mind's a little hyper aware of your body. So I'm choosing to dress this way for you, not I have to wear this because I hate my legs and they're so disgusting. That's how we start pulling some separation. And then eventually, when you do that long enough where you're putting some compassion on it is a lot easier to spend more time on finding things you do like about yourself, on appreciating the moments when clothes that never fit before finally do fit. When you have moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a 10, 12 now. Who knew? Like all of that starts mattering. It's really hard for that stuff, though, to even balance the scales when the hate is so high. It's like you can have 1,000 good things that have happened to you in weight loss, but if you've got hate on this side, it's like it sucks the joy out of all of it.
Well, that's exactly it. So that's, I mean, yesterday I started off right, and I felt so good walking out of that store. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never walked out of this store, and been in having to have them order something in the smallest size they have because I've lost enough weight. And
Yes.
then 30 minutes later, being in the cabana at that, well, the changing room at the beach, hating myself or
And
hating.
that's when you want to be tender with yourself instead of being mad at yourself.
I was like, how can I have such a, how could I have just been so excited and so happy and so proud of myself less than 45 minutes ago, and now I'm back to hating on my body and hating my legs and having these horrible thoughts about it.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you married by chance? Do you have like a parent alive or name me a family member you love unconditionally?
My sister. My mom died when I was 33. My dad passed away in 2013. And
Okay,
so.
so your sister. Okay, let's say your sister's in the hospital dying of cancer.
Okay. I
Okay,
am helping. Okay. Yeah.
and in one moment you're crying, you're beside yourself, you're all the things. The doctor comes in and says, oh my God, we misdiagnosed her. She's going to be fine. Would you be like, how could I go from being so sad that she's dying to elated that she's living in just a split second? How could you? Because your thought changed. That's all that happened. Your circumstance changed. You went from ordering smallest clothes you've ever ordered before to standing in the mirror at the beach ready to walk the gauntlet of your varicose veins. This is not a hard one to figure out. That is how it happens. This is not weird. This is not abnormal. This is not crazy tunes. That's literally, Rebecca, how the brain works. So don't freak out because when one moment you're getting good news, you and you're all like, somebody shoot a confetti cannon. Rebecca's done it. And then you go to the beach where you're going to be looking at your legs with varicose veins. You'll be like, I'm shocked. I'm having a hard moment.
Yep, that's about my brain. Yep.
That's everybody's brain, but that's why I explain y'all's brain more than I explain how to do the halftime method to stop it enough. Because literally, the last thing anybody needs in this membership is one more fucking tip on how to stop it enough. You know what you all need? Brain science. Y'all spend so much time feeling terrible about yourselves when your brain is acting normal. It's like you're beating yourself up for having a body issue moment because it's like, but I was feeling good and then I felt bad. I'm like, isn't that life? Can't you go to work and like one minute you feel really good and you get an email and you're like, fuck this job. I should quit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we do it all the time. But when it comes to body image, we act like it's a problem. We act like we're crazy. And it's like, no, our bodies are like anything. They're like our loved ones. They're like our children. I unconditionally loved my child, and when he was throwing up all over the bathroom, I wanted to give him away. That was the last thing I wanted to be. I kept thinking, why can't he hit a toilet? He could hit a wall really good, but he couldn't hit the toilet to save his life.
Oh,
So for you, this is really what I want you to do. I do not want you trying to love your body. It is very hard to love your body when you start at hate. Oh my gosh, Lizzie, which camp was it? Is the body image camp in the resources? Didn't we do a body image camp? I've done so many camps, y'all, I can't
yes, we
even
did
think.
do a body image camp. It is in the resources, but it's available to the people who came and purchased the camp. It's not yet available to the entire membership.
Oh, okay. When did we release that camp? Do you remember?
I want
When
to
did we do
say 18 months ago.
it? Okay. Did you do that camp by chance?
We did not do that camp. Wait,
Okay.
when was
There,
it?
it was, I think it was a year and a half ago. We haven't released it yet.
Oh.
There is, Lizzie, go through those resources and see if we can't find one of the videos, and we'll just drop it in a replay for everybody. Because it's probably on our schedule to release next year. Just Slack me after this and get with me and Yasmin, and I'll figure it out. We had a whole body image camp, and we talked that what I'm looking for, if my memory serves me correctly, which I just want to warn everybody, I don't think I have enough electrolytes. So I'm a little brain foggy. I can coach, but like trying to remember deep cut details from 18 months ago is probably a stretch today. But we did a body image scale where like you start at hate and then you go to love, but it showed you all the phases that you have to go through. And I think that would be really helpful. So we will find that resource and I will make sure we get it included in this replay. It might not drop tomorrow and we have to dig for it, but we'll get it in there. But I think that would be helpful for you to show you that when you are dealing with body image, we kind of want to go from I'm hating my varicose veins to how do I get to the part, Corinne, where I love my body? I've worked so hard and blah, blah, blah. And I know that's not exactly what you're asking for, but sometimes that's what people think they want. Like, I want to get to the, go ahead.
I know that I'm never going to get to the point where I absolutely swing from the treetops saying
Yes.
yes to them. I don't expect to ever get like it's I know it's not a realistic goal or even a possibility. So I understand that, but I do
I mean,
have
it could be. I mean, for some people, like I am so close to body love. Like I am probably 1 to 2. Like if you had a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably at an 8 now with all of my loose skin. And I mean, on with me rating it as an 8. That was like before this call. Like, I look really rough today. I'm so dehydrated. I dropped like 4.5 pounds from shitting and puking. Like, my skin, like, if you think crepey skin is real just on a normal day, be dehydrated and
I
the
try not to.
life sucked out of you. Like, it just, like, I looked at my arm, I was like, oh my God. Like, it was alarming. It changed so much in 2 days. I even had that, but I was just like, yeah, like, all right, just dress comfortably. Like, that was literally my reaction. Dress comfortably. Drink some water today. It wasn't like, oh my God, what is everybody going to think? And I hate that I have this. And, if I hadn't gotten sick, my arms would look better. I better go to the gym. I'm going to need to work out. Like, I got to get my arms back full. Like, all that didn't happen. Now, 2 or 3 years ago, that probably would have been my brain. I remember, like, I will tell you can ask the members at camp. This last camp, I actually wore skirts and dresses. I've never worn one at one single event my entire life, ever. And that was last year's events for the first time. In
Because
fact, go ahead.
I'm just curious as to the reason why you hadn't worn them before.
Before, I was so worried what everybody was going to think of my legs.
Oh, sorry.
I knew that if I stood on stage for 3 days in a dress, that everybody would look at them. And there would be some people who would be awed, like, good for her. And then there would be some people be like, if that's what my legs are going to look like, I might as well not even lose weight. I wouldn't wear them. And I knew I would be filled with shame. But I will tell you, a lot of the reasons why I didn't wear the dresses, at first, it was purely from shame. And I was so afraid of everything. I was living in fear of shame, so I dressed a different way. Then I moved to the stage of where, like, I really accepted I'm doing this for me. I'm not wearing dresses and skirts because I don't want to stand on stage and walk a gauntlet. I'm doing this for me now. And then last year, I was like, I'm going to wear dresses and skirts. And if people don't like my legs, that's okay. I don't like them most days either. But I'd gotten to a point where I was just like, I think it's going to be okay. I'd finally gotten to the point where I realized my legs don't look nearly as bad as I think they do. I had a lot of body dysmorphia. And I'm going to tell you, my legs don't look great. But in my mind, they look horrible. And so last year, I decided to finally wear them. And I was like, I want to be on stage in this. Now I want to be an example of someone who can wear things and not be 100% in love with their body, but move on with their life. So I just went through phases. But what I want you to do is I want you to see, like, you don't know where, I want you to be open to the idea that if you decide right now to just work on, when you're hating on your body, to just say, I understand. And I'm going to work really hard to not talk to myself like this anymore. And when you're like busting your ass about varicose veins and say, like, I know
And
you
loose
don't
skin.
like them, and the loose skin, whatever it is, and the loose skin, you can say, I know you don't like it, but that's not going to take away everything else that you've also done. Like, you've got to get used to doing that. And then I just want you to be open to the idea that you don't really know what loving your body for you is going to look like. It could
Don't
be
think it's
way better than you think.
like even from as long as I can remember, I have never, like, even as a child, I can't tell you the last time I ever felt comfortable, even at 7 years old, 8 years old. Like, I have never
So
comfortable.
that means you don't know what it could look like.
Probably,
So
yeah.
you don't want to say, I will never. You don't know. You've never given yourself the chance. You've never even introduced it. You've never even worked on trying to. You don't know what's possible. So leave the door open so that you don't end up giving yourself a false ceiling. Because when I give you this chart, when we find this, I know we have a chart. Now in my brain, it's like it's all coming back to me.
Corinne, I slacked you that chart.
Okay, thank you. Let me see if I can pull it up and share it. Hang on. Oops. I've got like 500 Slack channels. Let me see if I can see it. No, that's not it. I get two messages. Let me see if I can find it. I tell you what, y'all. Early next year, we will release this. This was a great camp. It was 2024. We will make sure we get this one released because it was so good. Okay. All right. I'm going to share my screen. We never do this on y'all's Zooms, but I'll do it here. We find y'all again. Let me show you this. Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay. This is the body's esteem spectrum. So first we are unconscious. A lot of us are sitting around and we are like, we don't even know we're hating on our body. It is just how we are. It's kind of like a lot of us have lived that way. Like, we know we're like fat or whatever, but we don't even know we hate our body because now we're just so caught up in the emotional eating and everything that we go through what we call an unconscious phase. Then we start losing some weight And all of a sudden, we realize, oh my God, I hate my body. Like, I didn't even realize how much I hated it. Now, some of us start in hate, and that's fine. We don't all start on this, but this is just the wide range. So you're kind of like in the hate phase. I want you to notice the next phase is, can we get to dissatisfaction? And that's what I'm trying to move you to. Is by like when you're in there like, oh my God, how can I be happy one moment and blah, blah, blah the next, and my varicose veins, and this is terrible, blah, blah. Now we want to get like, I get it. I varicose veins, I don't like them. But I'm not going to sit here and beat myself up over them. Because a lot of times when we're hating our body, we compile a lot of other stuff on there. It's like, I hate my loose skin. And then we go into, I should have never been overweight all those years. I screwed up my life. Like, I did this to myself. That's like the real definition of hate. Dissatisfaction means we move over into, I get it. We don't like it. It's okay that we don't like it. What do you want to wear today that would make you feel most comfortable? Because you don't have to wear shorts.
Oh, I don't. I definitely don't.
But there's a difference between not wearing shorts when it's coming from hate and from dissatisfaction. Like, we can do the same thing, but from one can be from a little bit more understanding and compassion, and one can be from just vile and, vomit. Then we move to what we call middle ground, which is kind of where, like, a lot of times I live. Like, when I'm looking at crepey skin and loose skin and stuff, a lot of times I'm just like, Corinne, it's okay. You can still wear clothes you want. Cause I now wear a lot of the clothes I want. And I'm like, it's okay if people stare at you. I wear a lot of crop tops. I wear a lot of shit now that, like, they don't even think a 51-year-old woman should wear, much less one with loose skin and shit. And I'm just always like, you know what? You like wearing this stuff. And so I'm just more in middle ground. Like, just reminding myself it's okay. Positivity is where we now start noticing things we like about ourselves. So I want you to notice you have some positivity budding through. You're kind of like, sometimes I hate myself. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this size I can wear now. That's great. We move around in this. And then we go to appreciation. Where it's like you move into a phase where, like, I have a lot of days where I appreciate my body. Like, especially when I'm lifting weights. One of the things that makes me go lift weights, even every day when I swear to God I don't want to go do it, I really appreciate how strong I am. I appreciate, like, when I can open my own jars and my friends have to give it to their husbands. And I'm like, I can just do that. Like, stuff like that. I can help Chris move furniture. In fact, a lot of times I have to help Chris move furniture because I lift weights and he doesn't. And then complete acceptance. That is where you get to a point to where you're just like, even when you have a negative thought, you're like, oh, that's just old shit. This is not going to stop me. I'm good. I'm like good with this now. This is just my body. It doesn't stop me from living the life I want to live. And that's where this spectrum comes in. But the reason I wanted you to see this is I want you to see you've got some hate. You just need to get good at calling out, when am I hating on myself? When am I in the middle ground? When am I in positivity? When am I in appreciation? And just start noticing you probably have a lot of this going on, but you feel like you're hating your body. And the reason why we feel that so hard is because hate is one of these, it's like there's seven emotions. I think it's there's these seven, I don't know what they all are, but there's seven emotions and they're like the most powerful ones. And hate and anger are two of them. And when you feel those, they take over everything. And it's like your brain's alarm system goes off saying, if we're feeling hate, we must be in danger. So now we must like obsess over it. And I need to like really think about this because if you're hating something, I feel like there's a threat. And I'm going to be doing everything I can to get rid of this threat. And it also, one of the things I actually was coaching someone in our Facebook group yesterday about it. When you hate on something, like if you hate on a thought, Your brain starts now thinking it's got to keep it because you wouldn't be hating it unless it was really important. Like if unless you were, you wouldn't hate something that you weren't really trying to make sure you stayed safe from or you weren't trying to annihilate. So if you're always hating on your body and you allow those thoughts without just interrupting them, doing the redirects to just like, I notice I'm hating my body right now. It might not be as bad as I think, or I just want to be there for myself. Your body gets a big alarm going off when you're just hating on it. It's like, oh my God, I better hate the body. That's the only way she knows how to lose weight. Like it'll like make irrational connections and be thinking like, I need to think this all the time. So we have to take this like the steam out of it.
Yeah. So I guess the other part of it is I don't know what to do with or how to cultivate the positive thoughts. Like I am not used to feeling positive about my body. I am not
So
used
right
to.
now, we're not going to be positive about our body.
Right, but
We're going to neutralize hate.
all right.
So what is the difference? Tell me what the difference, tell me what a, give me an example of like, let's go back to standing in the cabana and you were hating your legs. Okay. What would a positive thought in that moment be if you were having to give yourself a positive thought?
They're smaller than they were last summer. I mean, honestly, I don't. I okay.
That's great. Now, if you were going to neutralize hate, how would you talk to yourself? We're not trying to love the leg, and we're not trying to make our negative thoughts about our legs better. We're trying to neutralize hate.
Honestly, I don't know. Like, what would be a suggestion? Like, what would be a thought that I could use to level up that? Because I honestly don't know.
Let's do it this way because it's always better if it comes out of your brain and it's in there. So I'll ask in a different way. It's just hard. Let's say that you were in there and you were with your sister and she was hating on herself. It might not be legs for her. It could be anything else. Or let's say your sister had your legs.
Okay.
All right. And she was sitting there having a meltdown about her legs. What would you say to her?
I don't know. I'm just so stuck in the
Don't even
fact.
try to neutralize it. Just imagine you said you love your sister unconditionally. And if she was standing in the cabana feeling exactly the way you did, what would you want to just say to her in that moment? From your heart.
Love her regardless. Like I
Do you? Would you love her even if her legs looked as shitty as you think your legs look?
Of course. Yeah.
Why?
Because she's my sister and I love her. I mean, I just because they don't define her. I mean,
Really? Because they sound like your legs are defining you. But if it was your sister, you'd be like, I love you for a thousand reasons.
yeah.
Like when you're asking me about how do you like either love your legs or whatever, just don't think we ever get to a point to where we like love things on our body that society says is ugly. It's just really hard. Not that it's impossible, but we are surrounded by a lot of beauty standards. But what we end up doing is we make beauty standards and stuff like that. We forget to love ourselves. Like in those moments, what would it be like for you to just say, like, Rebecca, I know you hate your legs, but I love you. They can't, like, the way they look right now can't take away you. And the, like, do you love you?
I'm starting to wonder.
Well, that's the reason why we have these conversations, because it's always amazing to me to ask that question when what would you tell someone you really loved? And you would say, those legs do not define you. Let's just go have a good time. I know this is in your head. You would probably tell yourself, you'd probably tell your sister, they do not look as bad as you think they do. It's like, let's just go have a good time. I know this is upsetting. And you would probably hug her and you would tell her it's okay. You would probably say all of that.
Yeah.
But why not give yourself the same kindness? And not one time did you tell your sister, you look beautiful. You're not blowing smoke up her ass. You would tell her it comes from your heart. And that's what I think, what I would do if I was you is today, after this coaching, if you can, I would write about like, what are the things that I would love to start hearing from myself more often? Stop focusing on all the shit you don't want to hear from yourself. It sounds like you don't have enough to combat.
Probably not. No.
And I think it just starts with like, you need to go through the practice of. I was watching something this morning. It was real interesting. It was a self-defense class of all the things I was watching this morning.
Okay.
And the woman said that a lot of women want to go to like one self-defense class and think, all right, great, I got it. Now I know what to do. And she said, the only way to get good at defending yourself is you have to go and have a regular practice at it, because you don't know when an attacker's coming. There's a thousand different scenarios. And if you learn one technique and then in 3 years later someone attacks you, what are the odds of you remembering what it was in a moment when fight or flight kicks in? And I was like, man, that makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of you do that with thought work. You're like, give me the thought that's going to work. And I'm going to write it down. I want to put it on a sticky note too, Corinne. And then, 2 weeks later, you're ambushed in the cabana changing clothes, and you're not doing it every day, and you're not practicing the thoughts you want to have, and you're not writing about what you want to think about your body, and you're not asking yourself questions like, what do I think about it? Is that even true? What would be just a little bit of space for me? When you're not doing that, yeah, you get ambushed all the time. And guess what? You get taken down. Because doing this work is not a like, I'm gonna get coached one time and I'm gonna get this all figured out. It's gonna be real messy. So you gotta go like self-defense school, and you gotta show up like 3 times a week, get good at it so that, the next time you hit a mirror, you're like, I'm ready. Like, I can just do it automatically. I don't have to like stop and think, now, what did she tell me? So, if I was you, I think one thing to work on is all of the thoughts you would like to have about yourself, genuine ones, not pie in the sky. The way Rebecca is right now, what you would like to think about yourself, what you would want to remember in your toughest moments. When you see your varicose veins, what would you like to say to yourself in those moments when the thoughts come up? And don't forget that part, everyone. It's not What do I want my brain to automatically think? I think a lot of y'all confuse thought work with give me thoughts. Okay, now that's automatically what should come up the next time I look in the mirror, right? It's like, no, that is not. It is, we do journaling and we rewrite thoughts every day and we write to ourselves all the time so that when our automatic thoughts come up, we now are prepared for our ping pong thought. Because your old thoughts and your new thoughts, they're going to be in dialogue for a long time. We can't erase them. That's just not how the brain works. They're neural pathways. It's just scientific. But we can start grooving a new neural pathway. And that one is going to be there. And the way that it'll work is you'll have a new neural pathway that has positive thoughts, but that pathway only comes up when this one gets lit up. When negative thoughts get lit up, this one now can be lit up. And that's how it works. Until you use the new one so much when this one lights up that it, because the brain is very lazy. It does not want to work any harder than it has to. And eventually, when it says, every time I think this, you come back with this, I think I'm going to just start using this one because that would be faster. If that's the one you want to end on, why not just go to that first? And that is how our brain rewires itself. But it takes time. It takes first doing the writing, then they have to highlight and go together for a long time. And then eventually your brain starts like just segueing that one out. I wish I had easier answers for you, but
No, I just needed a place. I got it. I recognized it enough yesterday that it bothered me enough that I thought I'd try to hop on and try to see if there were any like journal prompts or something I could start doing to or use or something that would be on the website specific for it that I could just start to try to
you
work with.
should. I know the self-love course is out there. I would try that one because when you tell me, I don't know what I would say to myself. Like, I would tell my sister, they don't define you. And then when I ask you, like, well, why aren't you giving your, like, there's a thousand great things about you. And I ask you the same question, you're just like, blank. I don't know that I can give myself that advice. I would, and this is what I want you to pull out of this. I would give that advice to someone I loved. And when you say I can't give myself that advice, there's some missing love there for you. Because you wouldn't think those things about your sister.
No.
Easy for you to give her advice.
I do a lot, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that's because you love her. And so we reestablish more love for you. It's easier for you to give you advice too. So do the self-love course. We'll get that chart for everybody. I'll say, I bet you that lesson, it may have even had a video or something to it. I'll get with Lizzie and we'll get all of this attached to this call.
Thank you
But
so
this
much.
was really good, Rebecca. This is not an easy topic. And
No.
I'm really glad that you brought it up. And I think it helped a lot of people. And I hope it helped you, but just try to be proud of your accomplishments and be tender with the version of you that's like focused on your legs and your varicose veins and your loose skin. Just be gentle with her. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Okay. Stacy, I forgot all about that camp, y'all. That was the one too, where on the very like last day, and I mean, I about had a shit fit in the backstage. I had promised my team, I don't even know if I had told the camp that I would come out the last day in a bikini. And they were doing the camp meditation at the end. And I was in the back and we were trying to decide if I was going to do it because I don't think I had stated that I would do it. I don't remember what had happened, but I remember almost passing out. I was breathing really hard. I was talking to Jenny, who is, if you ever come to camp, she's my handler. She's the one that she's an OBS woman, but she comes to all the camps and just makes sure that, like, that I get some space. She makes sure I get coffee, all the things that I need to keep going the whole camp. And I sat down and I said, I don't know if I can do this. And she looked at me and she said, you don't have to, but you know you can. And I welled up. I don't even know if she remembers saying that. But I went out there. Lord, when I left that stage, I was shaking like this. And all I wanted to do was go home. And I went home and I had to decompress. Like it was not easy. All right, Stacy, on that note, what do you need help with?
Good morning. I would like help with my work schedule is changing, and I just like some help with making sure that I am setting myself up for success. So, at the end of this month, like going into September, will be returning to the office. Right now I do we've already transitioned back to going into the office 2 days a week. Come September I'll be back in full time, which is 4 days a week for me. I work for 10-hour days, and I do have I will admit I have some I already have like just kind of crappy thoughts about being in the office. I think they're long. I have a longer commute. It's a 60-mile commute. So, I think the days are hard. They're longer. I know I've got some work
That's
like
not a
that to
crappy thought.
do.
Let's not shit on your thoughts. I think that's
Okay.
legit. We just give that to
I
you.
guess it
A
is
60-mile
legit.
commute is time consuming. What'd you say your thoughts were? It's hard and what?
Well,
Longer
it's
days?
those are facts, right? But I make it like,
Yes.
oh, this is so bad. Like, I think
Well, all
that's
right,
the
but
part
we
where I'm
can, but
making
this
it
is
more
what
than it
I,
needs to be.
but one thing that's really, if this is where we want to find space, okay? We
Okay.
want to, like, where you're thinking. You're making it harder than it has to be. We want to separate those thoughts out from just like, don't gaslight yourself. You know,
Okay.
like,
Okay.
yes, it's a
That makes
longer day.
sense.
If you have to drive for a 60-mile commute is what, an hour and 20 minutes with traffic, hour and a half.
Not it usually it's more let's say it's hour 15 hour and 20 by the time I park get to the building get through security and everything
That automatically done twice a day is a longer day. Okay. So we just want to, the reason why I say this, I think it's really important for y'all. Sometimes I think y'all want to find happy thoughts in places where I'm like, you're not going to solve a problem. If you actually have a longer day, we need strategies for a longer day. But if you're trying to, like, you try not to have those thoughts, and then you'll start eating because you're actually hungry or you need a snack or whatever. And you'll just think like, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't even be thinking it's a longer day. Like, you'll miss obvious fixes. So we just want to separate out what is drama from fact. So we'll say it's a longer day, which means I would need a solution for. And
Yes,
is
that
it
thank you.
legit
That
harder for
helps.
you?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
So the other thought, it's harder. Is that you being
Yes.
dramatic, or is that, like, it's harder in these ways? Like, one of the reasons why it's harder is going to be because it's adding commute time, which means I got to have a food strategy for that.
Yes. And so I appreciate you saying that to me because that may be what I've been doing is kind of like trying to find the happy thoughts and maybe like gaslighting myself, like, oh, you're just making this harder than it needs to be. Because it does feel I'm tired. Like, on the days that I they commute, I'm tired. And so I do think, oh
But
my
you need a
goodness.
self-care regimen. You're going to need
Yes.
space for that stuff. Otherwise, if you're just trying to, like, make yourself faux happy when you're actually more tired, we're going to go to comfort eating. We're not even going to think
Okay.
about, like, I'm going to need more self-care. It's going to be very obvious on a hard day for me when I've got a longer commute. Like, I'm going to need strategies for these days. That's very different. Now, making it harder would sound like, my boss is a bitch. Nobody should have to do this, blah, blah, blah. And, like, knowing that's your job and you're not quitting and that is the new rule, doing that every day, 100% would make things harder on you.
Thank you for saying that. I think there are some, I do have thoughts like, I have a lot of responsibility. There are times like, we're short on staff, but those are like real things that I know I have to deal with. I'm committed to this job. I like where I work. I believe in their mission. I am paid very well. And so I'm not going anywhere. So maybe we can
Exactly.
talk a little bit about the strategies because I think that's where I've been going around a little bit is I like my routine now. On the days I work from home, I'm doing strength training. When I get home in the evenings, regardless of whether I've worked from home or in the office, I walk the dog. And I do struggle already with like being so hungry on the days I'm in the office or coming home and overeating on those days. And I think a little bit is because I feel hungry, but also I think it is just because I'm tired and I've had an emotional day. And so I want to make sure that I've got good strategies going into September so that when I am doing this 4 days a week, that I can keep up with the good habits I've already built and then also be sure that I'm sticking with my doable hunger.
Okay, so what is the difference between emotional hunger and physical hunger on the days when you're at work? Because you may be more tired. Like when I have days where I coach a lot, like all day, or I have meetings all day, I almost always am more hungry on those days because I'm using my brain so much. But I feel it. I'm not eating because I'm like pissed. I'm not eating because I feel like my workload's too much. Like, I'm not, like, there's to me, there's a difference. I know the difference when I'm pity eating because I've been sitting around all day grousing in my head about how unfair it is. It's all on me. If I had more help, three coaches are out this week. Like, they all like to take vacations the same fucking week. Like, also, some of my team members love to go on vacation without even letting me know about it. And I'm like, they let my assistant know, but Corinne never finds out until she needs them. Now, I'm not complaining about my team, but I'm giving y'all an example of even me. I sit around, I'm just like doing my work like this. This sucks. Nobody's helping me. I have to do it all myself. It's such a long day. And when I do that, I know when I'm pity eating. I know that
That
I'm
is.
to feel better, to like it's been a hard day. Now, I also know that there are when the difference is when I've been working and I've been working really hard and I'm like, oh God, like I can feel the hunger. But I pause every single time to ask myself, Corinne, are you eating to soothe yourself? Are you eating because you're legit hungry? And if I'm legit hungry, I'm like, we should be eating. We're using our brain. Our brain burns more calories. You know, your brain actually burns more calories in a day than your any workout you're ever going to do.
I've heard you say that, yes.
Yeah, it's like I forget how many. It's like your brain is responsible for. It's like 70% of the total calories burned in a day.
That
It's
seems
some
crazy.
incredible number, but it's because if you think about your brain, even when you're not bitching and moaning, your brain is like, pump that blood. Ooh, lungs, don't forget to breathe. Your brain is constantly working. It's working behind the scenes that you don't even know is going on. And so when you are, most of your brain is just responsible for making sure that you live, like, functionally. When you compile on that reasoning and thinking, it's like, I mean, it's like, driving 60 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour. If you're driving your car 100 miles an hour, you're putting a lot of more pressure on every single part of the car. It can't, like, that's why cars will redline. That's why they'll overheat and stuff. Our brains are the same way. So when you are thinking about these four tens, have you decided what your ideal day would look like for them?
Yes, I've given that some thought. So I do try, I leave the house. I try to leave the house by 5:36 in the morning, so that I can be in the office around 7.
I work till 5:30. This is what my typical days look like now. So that gets me home like between 6:30 and 7. I try to make sure that I have something really easy, like either, heat up quickly or grab a healthy option on the way home. Or my husband's good about helping with some meals too, so that I have something planned, so we're not just eating garbage. And then a lot of times now, my days might be staggered where I feel like I have a little more wiggle room if I'm coming home. Like, say it's Monday, I'm coming home and I'm not going back until Wednesday. When I those back-to-back days where I think I'm going to struggle is, so if I'm getting home 6:30 to 7, like, walk the dog, kind of prep for the next day, shower so that my morning's easier. Try to lay down by 9 so that I can be back up by 5. I think it's that little window that maybe is having me a little bit anxious about trying to get, everything done in like a 2 to 3 hour window.
Why are you anxious?
I don't know if anxious, it just feels like maybe not literally anxious about it, but like, is that enough time? How will, like, will I have, and maybe I just need to accept that I'm not going to have a whole lot of time, right? That's, I'm not, by the time I get my
Or
stuff
we could
done, I
just
might
like
not have a
really
bunch of free
dissect it.
time.
If you've got from 7 to 9, because you want to be in bed by 7, you have 2 hours. What would you like to get done during those 2 hours? Like, what is it that you know needs to get done in 2 hours? And let's take a back-to-back day.
Yeah, so I'll get home, do some, have to prep meal a little bit, eat, clean up the kitchen. What is that? Maybe 40 minutes. Walk the dog is another 20, so there's an hour. By the time I shower, if I, have to dry my hair, maybe and prep clothes for the next day, 30 minutes. So I guess what is
You
that,
still have
90
30 minutes
minutes?
left. Yeah, you still
Yeah.
have 30 minutes left.
Yeah, 30 minutes to, connect with my husband, do what, ever, check on things. And maybe that's what I just need to accept is on those days, it is going to be more focused on work, and not.
Or you could be focused on, you have plenty of time.
Okay.
You just told me you had plenty of time to do what you want to get done. I asked you, like,
Those
what
things,
would you
yes.
Like your one story, like you're, it's almost like you kind of keep going back into, like, this is where we need to find the space.
Yeah.
If the facts are saying this is how long, like if it was a back-to-back day, I'd never, ever, that would be eat out night for me. I'd know what my healthy options are because I wouldn't be cleaning the kitchen or the husband would be
Good
doing it.
point.
Chris would be doing it. Like, I'd just be
Yeah.
like, look, like if I have a busy day, like it's either Chris does it or we do something easy because I'm
Sure.
going to make my life easier. Now, even if you cook and clean up the kitchen and do all the things, you still have plenty of time. But you're wanting to describe it as like it's like you're keeping the story of how hard 4-10s are going to be. And there
Yeah,
are
I am.
parts that
Yes.
are hard, and what we want to find out is like, all right, where am I making it harder with my language? So if you tell yourself, when I get home from work on the back-to-back days, I have plenty of time to do the things that I know need to be done. Because all I'm
Do the
ever going to want
essentials.
to
Yeah.
do is wash my hair and dry it. The extras will be wash my hair. And if I want to actually eat dinner at home and I want to clean the kitchen.
Okay, that is a good point. And I think that's Karen, that's what I think I do is like there's a part of me that knows like how to kind of talk about this and to think this is plenty of time. And then there's this other part of me that does want to make it hard and want to talk about my day as well, we're short on staff and I have a lot of responsibilities and I never seem to have enough time through the day. And like, I know, because I've listened to you long enough and kind of been practicing, like, I know that those are just my thoughts about it. And so I think that's where I really needed to talk to you is just kind of like, have you help me separate, like, what is the real story here? And like, how do I really want to be like talking
So
about it?
let's take short on staff. That's probably just true, correct?
It is. It's just a fact we're, and we're in a hiring
So, what do
freeze.
you make it mean that y'all are short on staff?
So that is not actually, that doesn't bother me as much because
Except you've said
in,
it like 30 times in this call.
oh, did I? Okay. So I think where that
That
comes
much,
in,
except I need you to know we're short on staff.
it like it, where that comes is, and then it becomes me to, as one of like a leader on the team is having to make sure that we are spacing, adjusting the work schedule, adjusting assignments to make sure that we're hitting, we have to hit mandates, but that we also can get things done. Like it's just work, it's just adding work. And then I think from
Well,
my,
that's what I would rather you say. I want you to
okay.
think about it this way. You can say, we're short on staff. I want to just know what you're making it mean on the inside. Some
Okay.
people will say, we're short on staff, and that sucks. And then you say, and then I have to do all these things. Or you could say, because it sounds like you're handling it just fine.
Like, think I am? Yeah, I
Well,
think
it
I
sounded
am.
like you didn't, the way you described it was beautiful. You're like, I rearrange the schedules. I make sure these things get done. I mean, are they saying you're dropping the ball continually? You got to figure this out.
No one is telling me I'm dropping the ball. I will end my day feeling like I didn't get enough done.
Right. No one is telling me that what I think is true. Me ask you this.
Okay.
Could you be wrong about what you think?
Or we can all be wrong.
Yeah,
So
you're probably very wrong. Let
yes.
me ask you this. What would be easier for you to not overeat at night or overeat? We're short on staff and I handle it well, so much so my bosses never say anything about how I'm handling it. Or we're short on staff, I never get enough done. Which one's going to make you overeat?
Short on staff, and I don't get enough done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But both are true. We
Yes,
probably
that's
could
true.
all day long make an argument for the thousands of other things you could be doing if y'all weren't short on staff. But
Yeah.
your employers know that you're going to be short on staff. I'm guessing all this extra stuff that you think you should be doing, they don't care about as much, or they'd be telling you about it. Most employers, this is the crazy thing about bosses and jobs. When they don't like what you're doing, they're pretty clear about it. When they love what you're doing, they rarely say anything. That's most jobs.
And sure, that makes sense. And they know that stuff's not getting done. They know that, because I obviously I keep my VP informed that where we are at with things and why, and and able
And how many
to
times? And how
yeah.
many times has your VP said, that's just not good enough, Stacy? You're going to have to figure that
Zero
out. I
times.
can't
Yes.
have. Right. So, your thought, I'm not getting enough done, is you thinking that only. It has literally nothing to do with being short-staffed. It's your
Thank you for
choice
saying
to
that.
think
Yes.
that because you could be thinking, we're short-staffed. I keep my VP informed. Seems to be okay because they're not saying you're dropping the ball. I'm fine. I'm actually probably like, if I really want to up level my thinking, I'm probably handling this pretty fucking well. So much
Well,
so they want me back in the office. They want to see my face every day.
yeah. Okay, that's helpful. And I so probably what I'm doing, if I had to be honest here, is where I feel like I'm not getting enough done is the expectations I set for myself. I'm not meeting those expectations, which is probably has less to do with my abilities. I don't doubt my abilities. I'm good at my job. Is more to do with me thinking I can get more done in a day than I can.
That's what you need to be telling yourself. Like in those moments when you're like in the doter about not getting enough done, then you come up, you have that conversation with yourself, Stacy.
Sure.
I have to do that all the time. My list is never ending. Like this was the list they made me for just the next 10 days on a call, because I literally was on a call with my team and I said, I
Yeah,
know I have to
same.
ask you this every week. I always say, I know I have to ask y'all this every week, but can you tell me what do you absolutely need from me for the next 10 days so I can make sure I get that done? And every
Yeah.
week I have to ask the same question because they all bang out a lot of work, but I'm like, I can't even remember what I need to do and I can't remember what I have done. And so, I mean, this is a long list of things. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of it because I added secretly, like, you know, well, if I also did this while I did this, this would get us way ahead, blah, blah, blah. We all have these standards. So when I'm thinking I'm not getting enough done, I always have to remind myself, like, friend, you just have abnormally high standards for yourself. Like, and you're probably like me, otherwise you would have heard differently from your boss. What you think is not good enough is somebody else's A plus work
Probably true.
every fucking time. And most of
Yeah.
us are like that. And we have to remember that like we all, like I just tell myself, Corinne, you always hold yourself to a ridiculous standard. And that's why you're successful, not because you meet ridiculous standards, but because you're willing to set really high standards and be disappointed every day that you can't meet them. I tell myself that all the time. I'm like, you're so good at disappointment. Like, I literally reminded myself how good I am at being disappointed because I'm the kind of person that will set standards so high for herself that she's going to live in a lot of disappointment because I'm not going to make it. But boy, do I get a lot more shit done than most people because of it. It
I never
works
thought
for
of it
me.
that way.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
so I just remind myself, like, yeah, you're disappointed because you fucking set your bar so high. Good for you, girl.
I end the day often with the disappointment that you're just, but not the good for you girl part. So I'll have to practice
Add
that.
that. Let's just
Yes.
add the part where Stacey realizes that she just has really high standards. And the likelihood of
Excellent.
you ever meeting them is zero. But the reason why you're successful, why you're in a job where you're at a company you love and you're not leaving it and stuff, is because you do that.
Right. Right,
Just have
that's
to remind yourself
helpful.
to not feel bad about, like, I always go back to, if my boss ain't bitching, why am I?
Fair, that's fair. Yeah.
You know?
All right. No, that's helpful. I think I'll have I think this is going to help me. I did a lot of journaling and kind of feel like we started the call talking, you know, where it was like oh, these are terrible thoughts. I need to work on these. And then here's the positive and my gaslight. And so I think just talking through it with you and helping me kind of see my thoughts better and maybe organize them. I think this is good. I will work on the refining my daily schedule. And then also how do I want to use the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? My work does sometimes overflow into those days, but you know, I think I need to start maybe being a little bit more intentional about the boundaries I set with where work is allowed to creep into my time off, if you will. Not that I mind logging in, but I'm just making sure that I am, like you talk about scheduling like your workouts first and things like that. If I'm not going to have those in the mornings, then where am I going to be intentional about getting those in and making those, because they're non-negotiable right now. So, well, they're highly non-negotiable. Some days they are. But making sure that I'm getting that on the on those other days where I can fit it in, I'll just have to figure out where to fit it in.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I don't think you need my help with strategies. I think you know, this is where it always keeps coming back to how we think. It's like when we clear up some of your thinking, all of a sudden, all the strategies that are in you are just going to pour out.
Yeah,
Like you're going
yeah.
to know, you 100% sure, you're going to know what strategies work in your life way better than Corinne is going to know.
Sure.
Because you know
Yeah.
your time, you know, how much time you want to spend with your husband and how much time, you know, you want to spend, like Chris and I, we don't spend a lot of time together when we're in Nashville. We spend most of our time together only when we go away. When we're here, just like this
Yeah.
morning, I'm sure Chris is so sick and tired of cleaning up vomit and changing out trash at this point because he dealt with me and Logan. And so this morning, I haven't really seen him in because yesterday he had to do a full day meeting with the people I brought into town on the business side because I couldn't even get out of bed. And I mean, he's not gotten anything he's wanted to do done. Plus, he's not gotten alone time. Chris is very much about his alone time. Well, I haven't really seen him other than get me a rag and a chip of ice. It's 3 days. I walk into his office and I'm like, hey. And he turned around and he gave me the devil's eye. And I told him, I was like, I know that face. That is the get the fuck out of my office face. And I was like, I haven't seen you hardly in 3 days. And he just took a big breath and he just sat back and he just said, do you need to talk for a minute? And I said, just for a minute. I was like, I got to go on the calls in 3 minutes. And he's like, okay. And I said, I promise you this afternoon, you can sit in that office all you want. You don't have to even look at me. I'm going upstairs. That's how we like strategies. It's like
Yes.
you could come into my life and offer me 1,000 tips, but if you don't know that that man doesn't need me up his ass every 5 seconds, where some husbands need the wife up their ass every 5 seconds, you could give me a bunch of busted strategies. That's why
Sense.
I like to clean your brain up. And that way you'll come up with your best plans, what makes sense and what fits for you.
I love it. Okay. I think this was really helpful. I really appreciate your time this morning. Glad you're
All
feeling
right.
better too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye. Hey, and make sure you're listening to Corinne 365 and all the courses on your drive. Now that you have that commute, you got plenty of time to stay caught up on all your calls.
Absolutely. So I have going in 2 days a week gets me caught up usually, but yeah, I'm going to have to start doing finding some more to listen
You're going
to.
to be in the PhD program by the time this in about a few months from now. All
I think you're
right.
right. I think you're right.
Bye-bye.
So thanks so much. All right,
You're
bye.
welcome. How was that for plugging some of our replays in our 365? By the way, I just would like to give a plug to the 365s for all of you who don't even know they exist. We just found out that a bunch of the older members who listen to these calls, you don't even know that there's a daily drop called Corinne 365, where I give you it's 5 to 10 minutes. It's usually about 5 minutes long. Instruction, something to do, little motivational kick in the ass every single day. And it's been going since January 1st of this year. So if you haven't downloaded that podcast, you should. You can go to the website. Lizzie will put a link. It is nobswomen.com. If you go to the member site, go to it's podcasts. It's where the podcasts live. So just look for it on the menu bar and you can listen to me every single day. It is perfect for all of you who don't have a lot of time. You might not have a long commute, like, an hour and 20 minutes to burn in your car every day, two ways. If you don't have that and you need to listen to me in the minutes, plug it in and listen when you take a shower. Most people bathe every day or brush their teeth or do something. I take my phone in the shower every day and I listen to podcasts in there. I just put that, these things are waterproof now. You can just put it in there. And I listen to stuff all the time when I'm doing little things like that. And I'm like, this month is all about stopping at enough. So you're going to get 31 different little podcasts all about stopping at enough. And that's what most of us need. It's the basic to me of all the basics. They kind of hinge on stopping at enough. Like you can be doing all the self-care in the world, but if you're not stopping at enough, you're not going to lose weight. Self-care doesn't necessarily fix not liking to waste, not wanting to waste food and stuff. You could be only eating when you're hungry, but still not stopping at enough. You could be making a plan, but still not stopping at enough. You can be doing all the things, but still not be stopping at enough. And that is, to me, one of the most important bases. We're spending a whole month on it. All right, let's get one more. We'll go with Colette. Well, we got 30 minutes. We'll see if we can get both people done. See if we got Colette come in. There we go. Hey, let's get you unmuted.
Is it unmuted now?
Yeah.
No?
All right, what you need
Okay.
coaching on?
Oh, well, I feel like I've missed something down along the way and I want help figuring it out.
Okay,
So
what'd
I'd
you miss?
like to give you like a 2-minute synopsis of
All right.
how I got where I'm at. So I found you on your podcast October of 21. And I just, was following you. And I remember at Thanksgiving that year, I thought, I'm not eating anything I don't just love. That was kind of like my first shift. And I thought, this is amazing. And then that next March, you had a 1-week thing, and I did it. I didn't join yet, but I like, I'm gonna do this. And I think I lost about 8 pounds, but then it just kind of petered out. And then back down in September, I think the first month that you had no join fee, I joined and I've been a member since then. And that first 3, 4 months, I did nothing. I felt like almost paralyzed. And I listened probably like if the first of your year, you do like a 1 day kind of workshop, and someone was talking about their habits and keeping track and everything. And I thought, that's gonna make a difference for me. And I started doing that, and it was like a slow trend down, and I felt amazing. It felt like freedom to me because I actually went back and I did a list of foods that I had cut out, dinners that I would never make anymore. And it's like, I'm gonna do this. I embraced it. And I just slowly lost. And I'm gonna, I made some notes. I did some data dive yesterday preparing for today. And
Okay.
so that first like year of actually working the program, I dropped like 25 pounds. And then
Okay.
I got down to 35 pounds. And so a
Okay.
year ago, May was my lowest that I was at. And I slowly have either been staying steady or creeping up. And
Okay.
I'm about 11 pounds heavier now than I was back then.
Okay.
And I really felt like I was doing the same thing. And so I didn't experiment. So this past September, so this has been almost a year now, I thought, my plans are so basic. I'm a big leftover eater. I do leftovers for breakfast, leftovers for lunch. I make dinner, and I usually take something out in the morning to thaw out. So it's like, I'm gonna not make a plan. And it's like, you better pay attention to your enough because that's where my issue is.
Okay.
And it made a difference a little bit, but I'm still on the same trend.
Okay.
Now,
Gaining.
besides, I'm eating faster again, and I had really slowed down. I am a big dessert eater, and I had been eating desserts, ice cream, whatever, dark chocolate almost every night if I didn't have dessert. And I just want to give you these data things. I went through and did desserts. I went through my food journal and did desserts for that first period of loss. Can you hear that? I'm sorry. My husband has
No,
to
I
be
can't.
right outside.
No,
So,
I don't hear it.
in 1 month, it was anywhere from like 7, 8, 9, 10 desserts a month.
Okay.
I am now up to 23, 21, 30, 28, 31. Some of them are 2 or 3 times a day if I bake. I'm a huge baker. And I felt this. That's always been what I felt has been taking over. Like I'm out of control with it. And so when I went back embracing it, I felt like I did it in a good way. But that to me feels like one of the big pieces that I'm back. Like I've got pie that I just made. I have to have it. And I'll have it again tomorrow.
Why can't you just have a piece each day?
I don't know. I did back when I was first starting this first like year and a half.
I know, but let's just say that starting today, you're just going to have one dessert a day. Why is that like, What comes up for you when I say just eat a piece of just have one dessert every day?
That's kind of been like my plan. It's like, okay, I've got this. I don't want to waste it. I've made this great dessert.
Now,
And
I
so
didn't
I'll eat it
say
while it's
don't
fresh.
waste it. I said plan to have dessert every day.
Yes.
Now, what comes up? One dessert, one small slice into enough.
I'm not sure why it changed. That's what I'm thinking. Like, what did I miss
I don't
along the
need
way?
to
Because
know
I
why
did
it
do that.
changed. We don't need to know why it changed. We need to know, like, this is really important. A lot of y'all love history and you want to like think about the history. We need to think about why today would Colette not just plan one piece of dessert and one dessert a day be fine right now? Because it's today Colette that needs to lose her weight. It's not past Colette. It's today's Colette.
I've had those thoughts, and it's like I've had that plan, you know. I am going to have this pie, this cake, cupcake, whatever.
One a day.
And then I just don't.
Right. Tell me why. Why are you not just having one every day?
It's like it. And not that it controls me, that's not the right word, but that it feels like I just give in. But I really, it's like I'm just gonna have it. I'll have a
Why?
salad so it won't be so much, you know. Like I validate it. Like I'll
Right, I
eat less
understand
so I
that.
can. What?
Right, I understand that. But if you let's do it this way. And I just want you to think, I don't want you to try to give me the right answer. I want you to try to give me what happens in the moment. If you were to pick the ideal time during the day where you know that you're going to have your dessert that you love every single day, when would you have it? Like, when would be the
Probably,
most enjoyable time?
either like as part of my lunch, like a lunch dessert, or if I'm going to have a long time between lunch and dinner, like an afternoon snack.
You get one. I just want to know one time, just for an experiment. I'm
Oh,
not making commitments.
let's just say as a lunch dessert.
Okay, so we're going to have a lunch dessert every single day for the next 30, what are we on? August 3rd, just say till the end, till August 31st. So you get to plan one every single day that you get to look forward to. You get to enjoy it. You do not have to have a salad just to have it. Like, it's just part of the plan now. If you want to have a salad, that's great. If you don't want to have a salad, that's fine. Now, when you want to eat it again that day, why would you want to eat it again?
Oh, because it was pretty awesome, and I want the awesome again. I mean, to be honest, that would probably be the most fitting.
Okay, because you want to feel awesome again.
No, it tastes awesome. Like
Okay.
I'll be feeling fine. It's not like oh, I need this to feel better. It's like, God, that was so good. And it's
Okay,
there. I could just
well, that's good because if it's not an emotional eat, we can use willpower.
that's probably my struggle.
So if it's not emotional, why do you not just say, you know what? It does taste really awesome and we'll have that awesomeness tomorrow. I'm not going to have it right now. I'm learning to only eat it once a day.
Yeah, it's like I feel like I missed something because I felt like I had that. I felt like that's where my head was. It's like this is so great that I can have it every day.
Right. But sometimes what happens is that if we just like one day, decide to have it twice, you have now lit up an old neural pathway.
That fits. That
And
fits.
for everybody, please hear me when I say this. For some reason, everybody thinks that, and you're a really good example, but I was doing this and it was just, I had it. That doesn't mean the old behaviors that you practiced probably for most of your life that your brain said, burn it all down. We'll never need these thoughts again. These habits are dead to us. Cut that part of your brain out and throw it in the trash. That is not what happens. It's like, okay, you're using these neural pathways now. Good to know. Now, the second you have a day where you just have, like, maybe you make an awesome pie and you eat it for lunch and then you want it later in the day and you just like, you know what? I've been pretty good. I've lost like 35 pounds. I'm going to have a slice. That's not a big deal, except it lights up the neural pathway of like, well, that was awesome. We could have awesome twice a day now. This is
Yeah.
great. So tomorrow, when their pie is sitting there, guess what your brain's going to do? You know, you're still down that 35 pounds. I think we could probably have another awesome slice. Next thing we know, we've like lit up that neural pathway to be the dominant one, not this one. Because this neural pathway doesn't feel awesome. This neural pathway is filled with discipline. And I mean, it gets you weight loss. The byproducts of saying no to a second slice of pie has a lot of awesomeness with it. But the act of doing it does not. Now, it does, it's not terrible, but it's not going to feel like telling yourself, girl, that pie was awesome. Guess what? You have it planned tomorrow, and it's going to be really awesome tomorrow. You're not going to feel awesome in the moment as if you're eating pie. That is why those things happen. It is not weird. It is not odd. It is not like you lost your mind. You've not gone backwards. You're not off track. The only thing that has happened is you established a habit, you changed the habit. You did something you already had a habit path with, and you lit it back up. And now we got to decondition it again. That's all it
So
has
you
to
don't think I missed anything? Because I was thinking that on the way down. This is too easy. Is it going to come back to bite me in the butt sometime?
Nope. You didn't miss
So
shit. You did it correctly. You
that's what
just
it felt
are
like.
like every other person. If we're not mindful that like y'all freak out. When you start acting like your old self, you're like, oh my God, what the fuck's happened? I must be broken. I must have missed something. This is terrible. Instead of like, oh, this is what happens. If you do an old behavior, immediately your brain says, you must want to do this again. I'm right here with you. I've got all of the, like, the tracks are laid. I've got the instructions. I know exactly how to do it. It's going to be so simple. Let's just go. It just knows how to do it. That's all that
Okay.
happened. So now, the good news for you, though, Colette, is because you did it once, guess what? You have a neural pathway for the other way that can also be easily lit back up because it's in the brain. That neural pathway also didn't get erased, it's just not getting used. And so we have to use it again, which means now, like you were like, and I got pie in there, right? Now, didn't you say you had a pie in there?
I actually had cake now, but
Cake.
there's
Okay.
always
You got a cake.
something.
Yes. So you got a cake in there. And when you were telling me, you were already excited about it. It's like, I got a cake in there, and it means I'm going to do this, and it means I'm going to do this. It's like, no, it means you have a cake in there. You have decisions to make about the cake. It doesn't mean shit. I guarantee you right now, if a guy came into your house with a loaded shotgun and he said, I'm going to shoot you in the head if you eat that cake today, I bet you would not eat cake today.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You wouldn't go like, well, shoot me in the head. You know I have a cake problem. That cake is just too hard to say no because it's awesome. You would make a decision because the stakes got raised. So it just means that even when the stakes aren't raised, you still just have a decision to make. It's a boring fucking decision. And it just means, like, all right, if you really want to have dessert, start planning it. And then when you want to experience it again, because it's not emotional for you, it's just, I like cake. I like my desserts. I've relit my neural pathway up. If it's not because you're like trying to comfort yourself, if it's not because you don't have enough excitement in your afternoons, if it's not because you're too tired, whatever's going on, we just tell ourselves, we get awesome again tomorrow. We'll get awesome every time I want to plan it. But it's always a decision. And I'm only deciding to have it once a day until I figure out if I even want to have it once a day anymore. Just like I'm just going to light that old neural pathway up. That's really it. It's that boring.
Yeah. And that's what I initially, that's what it's like. I can just do this because I did it. And it's like, well, I am not. So I must have missed something because I've been
No.
working at this for a year of going, I'm going to get back because I did it. And I haven't. And
So let me ask you this. What is it going to be like? Have you already had cake today?
no.
Okay. Have you had your dessert today?
No.
Okay. So
No,
you
not
get
today.
one
There
today.
are times I'll do it in the morning, but I haven't today.
Okay. You have it today. Were you planning to have it today?
Actually, I was not.
Okay. So we're not having it today. Now, you already know that that cake is going to like grow lips and it somehow it's going to talk to you when you walk into the kitchen. It's going to be like, hey, Corinne doesn't know shit. Like, I'm way better than her advice ever will be. Won't you come get some of me? Now, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I just today I feel like I can do it. I just want to feel like I don't give in so much. I just felt like I just kind of was like, well, I can do this.
That's the power thought. That's what you like when that cake starts talking. When your brain starts yammering, you just be like, no, today is the day I want to feel empowered again. Today is the day I want to feel like I can do this again. That's more important to me than cake is. I know cake tastes good, but I really want to finish this day knowing that today I didn't plan it and I'm not going to eat it. And I'm willing to want it. I'm willing to have thoughts about it. Because it you may or may not have a lot of urges. We don't know. So if you have a lot of urges, that's the conversation you have. Or you've made such a decision already that you might not even have a lot of urges. And then you get to go to bed feeling proud. Just make sure that you don't eat cake today and that tomorrow you write about how good it felt to honor your word, whether it was hard to honor your word or whether it was easy to honor your word. Either way works. But write about like, it felt really good. It felt really awesome. Here's why honoring my word is actually better than dessert. Because you probably, if I asked you when it came to desserts, most people don't want to eat dessert every day. What they really want is to enjoy desserts when they really want to enjoy them. Almost every woman I've ever coached says that. They're like, it's not so much about, they put so much attachment to the joy of it. It's like when I say, do you want it every day? They'll say, yes. And I was like, but what is it that you really want? It's like, I just want to be able to really enjoy desserts. I said, well, if we could really enjoy them, would that have to happen every day? Because sometimes you're probably eating the cake and not enjoying it. You're probably eating it and all like you get halfway through and you're already feeling guilty. You're already feeling like, what the fuck? I said I wasn't going to do this. You're questioning, like, why can't I get my shit together like I was like a year and a half ago? What has changed? That's not enjoying dessert.
Yeah, and being a foodie, it's easy to fall into that. I want it. I'm a great baker. I make the stuff, and I just get into that pattern of it is so good. And I've just fallen back into what I was before I found you in this program. And I just feel struggling to new thoughts, get back to the old thoughts, whatever you want to call it, that just giving into it seems to be my
How
pattern
much
again.
talking back have you been doing when you have those thoughts of just saying, like, we get to have it tomorrow? Like, this is not a big deal. Especially for
Not,
someone who's a baker, that means you always have it available, which means that you never have to worry about not having it. Some people who aren't bakers actually have to go buy that shit.
I'm really good at it, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, fortunately, but Yeah, not as much talking back as I did in the say the first year or so. I kept saying, this is so awesome. I can have all the stuff I want. And I've probably been in the good, better food group for the majority of everything I've been doing. And I was embracing that. It's like, yes, finally just eating food that I just really want and being mindful. I was trying to change my relationship with food, and I felt like, man, I'm here. And now it's like, oh, my old relationship just came back.
Yeah, so we just want to rekindle the old one. It sounds like, or the new one. It sounds like you haven't been doing that. The way that you've been talking about it is like talking about it with your old relationship and wondering why you have your old relationship. Rather than
Yeah.
talking about how awesome it is to be able to eat the things you want, now you're saying it's really hard for me to eat the things I want.
Yeah. Well, it's not hard. I've been doing it, but I haven't been as mindful as enough. I keep saying I'm going to, and then I try, and then it just kind of wanes. And then I mean, taking this data from yesterday and looking at the dessert issue, I was just wondering, and it's like it was so glaringly obvious what my new pattern has come to, that it's like maybe my enough isn't. Well, it does, because I'll eat a dessert fast enough easily. I've always
You can
been able
work
to
on
do
that, but right now let's work on planning dessert and reestablishing the relationship with dessert of one a day, or you don't even have to do it one a day. But if you do have dessert, it's one a day, and that you remind yourself, I don't emotionally eat desserts. So I just have to tell myself, no, we'll have a lot of awesomeness tomorrow. This is the great thing about being a baker. I will always have it available to me. I will always have a like really good desserts. And I'm going to be able to, I want to be able to eat what I want. I do not want to have to, go back down the road of thinking I can't have these, or for some reason desserts are bad, or it's unfortunate that I'm a good baker. It's like that's not what you want.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this to everybody. I don't know why y'all call yourselves foodie. I've never met a human that wasn't a foodie. Don't we all have to eat? Animals are foodies too.
Yeah.
We talk
Full
about being
brain.
foodies as if
Yeah.
we're like a different special category. Not really. I've never met anyone who's like, you know what I would love to eat? A lot of stuff that tastes terrible. Can you take me to the terrible buffet? That's what I'd really like.
If you'd
Everybody.
hear me and my sister talk about food and all the, and then making it and serving it and, serving people great food. I mean, it's just like, that's just a big piece of who I am. Like, I'm known for that in my group of
And I think that's
sphere.
lovely.
Yeah, no, that's, I know. I don't want to get rid of that part. I just want
Yes.
to not fall back into my old habits of how I was
Yeah, I just want
before.
you to distinguish. If you want to journal something, to journal the difference between being a foodie in being an overeater. They're not the same thing. They're not even in the same world.
Okay.
Everybody loves food. Some of us are very skilled at the cooking, and it's like it's a big part of your life. That doesn't make you an overeater. You know what makes you an overeater? Not telling yourself no.
For sure.
Emotional eating does. Like, there's a lot of things that make us an overeater. Being a foodie isn't one of them. Because I have taught everybody in this program that we are going to eat foods we love and lose weight. That is how we're going to do it. And as
That's
a
why I
foodie, you
jumped in.
probably actually love a lot of healthy shit too. You don't
Oh yeah,
just
for
love,
sure.
so that is even better. Okay. So journal on that. Maybe journal on the difference between being what is a foodie. And what is someone who's not stopping at enough? Because they're not the same.
Yeah.
Okay. All
Yeah, it's
right. Thank
easy
you.
to give in to that excuse, but all right, thank you
Exactly.
very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Someone asked, and then we're gonna let me remind y'all, we have a regain call coming up in 30 minutes. So at 12:30, we'll start the regain call for anybody that's had regains. Someone asked, like, what if you're eating for joy and comfort? That's what this whole program is totally built around. Go through the emotional eating reset, then go through the nighttime eating course. And then in September, we're doing the weekend. It's the how to quit blowing it on the weekend. We're doing a workshop on that. That is going to be y'all's. We're toying with the names, but one of the things I was thinking about is it's like our path of like how to tame all the food noise in our head, because that's really what's happening is when the emotional eating is at the root cause, we have a lot of food noise. And so if you're eating for joy and comfort, that is thoroughly, thoroughly taught and discussed in all of the emotional eating reset and all of the nighttime eating workshop month that we did. There are replays of all the coaching on that. There's plenty of information in there. A lot of the enough stuff that you're going to hear this month is all based in, most of the time we're not stopping enough because of the emotional overeating. But that would be my best advice to go through that. Because if you're eating for comfort, whenever you're eating for a feeling, I'm eating to experience joy, it means you need to look at then where am I missing joy in my life? Where am I not finding joy? Where am I denying myself joy? Because the way to not have to eat for joy is to make sure that you have things you enjoy in life. And it's not always just things. A lot of times that's looking for spaces. Like when I was doing the call with, I can't remember, maybe it was Stacy. She's at work. She actually loves her job, but she's talking about it as if I never get enough done. And it's so hard. Instead of talking about it as I'm really good at my job and I'm getting more things done than most people would, I'm just not meeting my standards. So she's denying herself a lot of pleasure and joy every single day in her job, but only like with those thoughts. So there's just places in our life where sometimes we just miss joy. We just don't even acknowledge it because we're so like fixated on bullshit all the time. Same thing with comfort. You're eating for comfort. You want to ask yourself, what am I needing comfort from? And then we work on that stuff. The best way to stop overeating is to work on your life. When we work on your life, like some of it, there's some parts of your life that may need changing and it's obvious, and we can just make some changes and your life gets better. There's some areas of your life, the changes have to be made internally. It's the way you're thinking about it. It's what you're reading into things. It's like, when Stacy goes to work and thinks that she's not doing enough, and her boss is like sitting there getting a report from her each week of her saying, here's what didn't get done, and they're okay with it, she's reading into things. So we want to look for all the places where we're denying ourselves comfort because of our own thinking and stuff. So we can look at places, and that's where you can use as coaches, you can use calls like this to kind of dissect what is it that's going on where I need food to fill the gaps of my life. And then instead of using food to fill the gaps, we're going to use either changing how we think to fill the gaps. There's so much freedom in changing how you think about some things. Just sometimes getting some enlightenment on like, oh my God, I could think about it this way, is amazing. And then sometimes we have to make some changes in our life. And some changes are easy to make. Like if you just need help and you realize, like, I just really need some help. I'll give y'all an example. Somebody posted, I was posting in the group yesterday. It was in, I think I posted in the selfie Saturday, and I was talking about being sick. And somebody said, let people help you. I was like, don't worry. Not my problem. I let people help me all the time. I used to not. I used to have a really hard time with that. And so I needed to eat because I was burning myself out all the time trying to do everything. And I wouldn't ask for help because I thought it made me seem weak. Some people think it makes them seem like a burden, or they feel like they should be able to do these things. When I realized that asking for help was just needed, and nobody was going to die if they had to help me, then guess what? I was able to start fulfilling that need, and overeating started going down. It's really important for us to see those things. So sometimes it's a simple change of like just saying like, hey, could you do the laundry tonight? Because I've got a headache and I want to go to bed. Instead of sitting there doing the laundry, eating Cheetos while you do it, thinking I have to do everything. Nobody ever helps me. I'm all alone. Or sitting there thinking, I should feel bad for not wanting to do the laundry because I have a headache. I need to get that done. And I don't want to burden my partner with it. So I'm going to eat Cheetos while I do it. Sometimes there's some thought work that has to happen before you can change a situation. And sometimes when we just notice we could just change a situation and things get better, we do it. It's like when I was talking with Stacey was another good example. I was like, I would never, ever, if I had to work two tens back to back, I would never cook dinner on those nights because I wouldn't want to clean the kitchen. That's the nights that I know exactly where I'm going to go and pick up dinner or order Uber Eats, and I'm going to have a healthy plan. And I'm going to do it with my best brain. And I'm probably even going to have my husband on my way home. I'm going to say, when I'm leaving the office now, it takes about 30 minutes for Uber Eats to hit. Here's what I'd like you to do. Order my usual from whatever. Because that's what I always get on the nights we're going to order out when I'm tired, but I also know it's a good choice. And I'm going to punch the button and I'm going to let hubby order it so that when I walk in the door, the food is waiting on me. And then I can take my shower, wash my hair, and have more, and I can walk the dog. I have more time. So sometimes it takes thought work and sometimes it doesn't, but it takes looking at why we're overeating. You've got to ask the questions. It's very rare that we are only eating something simply because we love it. Now, sometimes it is, but most often there is a reason. Look for your reasons. Don't be quick to just think it's a problem with you. There's almost always a hidden reason, and they're not that hard to find. So do the emotional eating reset. It explains all the reasons, the nine major reasons why we overeat, or I think there's eight, but I think I combined two just so the video wouldn't be too long. But they're in there. Almost all of us eat for almost every single one of them. They're very human and they're very normal. Very normal. They do not mean something's wrong with you. They do not mean you're abnormal. They do not mean you're broken. They're just reasons why we eat. And when we find those reasons and we look at them, then we can start meeting our needs. And I think that's wonderful. I think it's very brave of us to look at those things. I think it's commendable to look at those things. And it's a gift we give ourselves to figure out, like, why do I keep eating? There's a very plausible explanation for this. And when I figure that out, I can fix some stuff in my life. And I'll get a better life. I'll lose weight easier. I can eat more of the foods that I love when I do that. There's so much true pleasure in life on the other side of figuring out your emotional eating. Okay, I will see y'all in about 30 minutes for the regain call. Anybody can come, but regainers are the ones I'm coaching. All right, bye y'all.